mighty, you are good, and you are kind, and you are loving. And God, those are truths. I don't know that I've always discovered those every day. Sometimes, God, life crowds in and steals that from me. God, I want to pray today that we'll have a hunger, a want to feel your presence. Allow you to speak to us. This time is precious. May we glorify and honor you. Holy Spirit, come now. Just come and fill this building, fill this property. Much laughter, much enjoyment, much engaging what God is doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Brother Gary.
Yeah. When the world seems against me, you are my friend, you are my shelter, my tower, my retreat. There is comfort in knowing your love carries me. You're my strength, Lord, when I am weak. And I will shout hallelujah to Jesus, my King. I will lift up the name of the Lord. I will shout hallelujah to Jesus, my King. I will lift up the name of the Lord. Tribulations and trials, you know they're not few, but you stand beside me day by day. No weapon against me shall prosper, my Lord, because you rose and you conquered the grave. And I will shout hallelujah to Jesus, my King. I will lift up the name of the Lord. I will shout hallelujah. Jesus, my King, I will lift up the name of the Lord. For your blood it has bought me a pardon from sin, all unrighteousness washed white as snow. By your suffering I'm healed and I'm whole once again, so I praise that the world may know. And I will shout hallelujah to Jesus, my King. I will lift up the name of the Lord. I will shout hallelujah to Jesus, my King. I will lift up the name of the Lord. When I come to the end of my life, may I be ever faithful to you, my Lord. My shield and my portion, you are God to me, as I praise you forevermore. I will shout hallelujah to Jesus, my King. I will lift up the name of the Lord. I will shout hallelujah to Jesus, my King. I will lift up the name of the Lord. Let's shout it out. I will shout hallelujah to Jesus, my King. I will lift up the name of the Lord. I will shout hallelujah to Jesus, my King. I will lift up the name of the Lord. I will lift up the name of the Lord. I will lift up the name of the Lord.
You are my true world.
Scripture. Some of you may have received an outline of sorts that kind of have the highlights of what I'm going to share today. But as I did with our 9:30, let's start out with a very simple question. Is attitude important? But is attitude important enough to change it, to adjust it, to recognize it? Your attitude. Probably most of us in this room have been alive long enough to have somebody say something like, you need to change your attitude. You need to adjust your attitude. But then our reaction is usually, what are you talking about? You need to change your attitude. My wife and I have been married a long time. Sometime last century we got married. We've been together even longer. My wife and I have been married 28 years. Getting close to 29. I've been together 35. Now that's a blessed woman. So what's your prevailing attitude today towards life, towards your work, towards your family, and at this very moment towards God? Do you believe He cares? Do you believe He loves you? Do you believe that He cares about where you're going, where you've come from? What might be on your heart? I know there's been times in my life, my attitude has been more simply with this thought. God doesn't care what is on my heart. What matters to me doesn't matter to God. That's a lie. And so this morning, we want to use Jesus' attitude and look at our own attitudes in life. Attitude definition I'll give you this morning is this. A settled way of thinking, not a subtle, a settled way of thinking, or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. I'll read that again, and then I'll use a personal analogy for you. A subtle way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. I did not watch any of the Florida-Georgia football game yesterday. I was here building the Great Sycamore Wall. Okay. Kathy did all the planning, working. I was simply labor at times. John did a lot of work, and some others did some work too. But I found something, I'm going to use a fancy word that some of you might need to Google, a conundrum. And that is this. Some of you are passionate Georgia fans, and there might even be a few, there are a few Florida fans in here. But here's the conundrum part. You ready? All of you probably, if you know who Tim Tebow is, admire his faith in Christ. Amen. And yesterday I saw all this stuff that he was posting about, come on, Gators. Because he's a Florida graduate, for those who don't know. He played quarterback at the University of Florida and is a Florida grad. And I think for a lot of times, that's the way our attitudes are in life. We're in this tension. We know what our attitude should be, but here's what our attitude really is. And I think sometimes for many of us, we don't know how to move from what it is to what it should be. So we need a foundation. We need a standard. And Christ is that standard. God, our Heavenly Father, His holiness is that standard because He has attitude. Now, He probably doesn't have the same kind of attitudes I always have. We're going to look at some in just a moment. But Christ has an attitude. The Holy Spirit has an attitude, and we have attitude. But as we move along in this world, we have a lot of things that come at us. And I think so often it shakes us. It messes with us. It causes tension between the what I am and the what I want to be and what I should be. And we get lost sometimes in all of that. And some form of evil speaks these words to us. Why do you keep trying to choose this? Why don't you just sit down, give up, and quit? It's useless. And then our attitudes become one of defeat. God's saying, I'm here. And so today, let's begin to have a Christ-like attitude. And we'll begin by looking at Christ's attitude with the Scripture. First Scripture is this. I changed it from the last one, by the way. For those who are in the first service, I inadvertently put Philippians, it's Ephesians. It says to the church in Ephesus that, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off that old self. And literally what it means is, think of changing clothes. You're taking that sinful, defeated, ungodly attitude and getting rid of it, and we're putting on a Christ attitude. We're putting on Christ Himself. Actually, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by sinful desires. I want you to realize something right there. Paul does something that many of us need to just stop doing. Stop blaming somebody else. Paul calls the Ephesian church out on themselves. He says, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You are impacting you. It's time for you to have change. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. In our congregation, we use that theology a lot. The renewing of your mind, the transformation of your mind, how much your thoughts impact your actions. It is a biblical truth throughout. And we talk about battling lies all the time because it's real. To be made new in your attitude of your minds and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. To be true standing before the living God, holiness. To have a holiness in us that says, I can love even if I get no love back. That I can choose to forgive even if I've been hurt. That I know how to set boundaries to keep from getting hurt. That I can be righteous in Christ. That through the power of the Holy Spirit, yes, I can see life differently. A Christ-like attitude. And now I'm going to list to you for you some of Jesus' attitudes. The first one is this, Philippians 2, 5-11. It's in the Message. The Message is kind of a paraphrased version of the Bible. Think of yourselves the way Christ thought of Himself. What did He do? Well, He had equal status with God, but He didn't think so much of Himself that He had to cling to the advantage of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, He set aside the privileges of deity and He took on the status of a slave. He became human. We're human. We have flaws. He was perfect. We have doubts. He trusted and had faith. He felt pain. We feel pain. He became human. Having become human, He stayed human. He didn't go, I don't like this. I think I'll go back to heaven. He said, no, I'm in it for the long haul because that's what my Father has said. I have to finish what I have been sent here to do. He stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He did not claim special privileges. Instead, He lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death is that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted Him high and honored Him far beyond anything or anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Christ, this Jesus Christ, and call out in praise that He is the Master of all to the glorious honor of God the Father. Jesus' attitude we just read in the Scripture, I'll give you three from that one, and we just read them. Selfless, obedient, and sacrificial. Selfless, obedient, and sacrificial. He died to take away our disobedience called sin so we could stand before God the Father one day
and begin an intimate personal relationship here on this earth so we can stand in a before a living God and say, yes, we can spend eternity together. Selfless, obedient, and sacrificial. I want you to think about your own life now. Would you say, how would you categorize your attitude in this life? How would you categorize the way you have been approaching life? This Jesus attitude, these first three that I gave you, selfless, obedient, sacrificial. He was selfless for us. He was obedient to God the Father for us. He was sacrificial to God the Father for us. I know for myself personally, most of those three, if I was being honest before you today, I know some of you don't know me at all, but I think if you hang around us long enough, you'll find that Dusty and Rick and myself and most of these guys and ladies, we're pretty honest about ourselves because I have not arrived at perfection, although I've told Kathy I'm perfect. She still struggles with that attitude of not believing me. Anyway. Right now you can't see it, but I'm getting a lot of eye roll. She's had a lot of practice. Is that I think sometimes I fall in both ditches going down the path of life, and here's what they are. One, I'm all shucks at the meaning, you know what, I'll just never be selfless. I'll just never be obedient. And I don't think I can ever make the sacrifices that God's calling me. And God's saying, wait a second, there's no room for pity parties. And then there's that other disc going down the road of life, and I'm like, man, whoo, I am giving up left and right here. I am obedient. I read the Word of God today. I forgave that person for such and such. And sacrifice, oh man, I sacrificed like crazy. Kathy wanted to binge watch that on Netflix, and I wanted to binge watch this on Netflix, so I let her have her way. Exactly. My sacrifice, I think my sacrifice is I'm laying my life down. The truth is, I just chose the path of least resistance.
Oh, my name. Oh, my name.
You're going to meddle in.
If it's nowhere close, you're going to have to walk home.
No, what I'm saying is, yes, don't help me until I ask for help. Is I think understanding who I am, but also where I am, with who I am with at that point, gives me the correct perspective. Jesus' attitude, selfless, obedient, sacrifice. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, Matthew 20:28. And so Jesus explained, I'll tell you the truth. So the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. A couple attitudes from those scriptures would be servant and teachable. I say this a lot to the people I talk with on a regular basis. We have way overcomplicated evangelism. Way too much thinking. Way too much wondering what to do. Find the slightest, the smallest, the littlest thing when you're seeing someone's life in living color and say, how can I serve that person? How can I serve that person? When Hadley gets loose from Tyler and Mary, find Hadley. Find Hadley. You should be thinking of me right now. My point being is we're studying for something that maybe we're not prepared to do yet because we haven't picked up the towel and the wash basin and said, I'm going to serve whoever, whenever, however, in the most smallest, minute way. If you could see Terry and Lisa and Jaden at Treehouse on Wednesday, we have an actual program up here. There's about 7 to 9 kids, and Lisa's oldest daughter, JC, does the snacks. Dustin and I just come and hang out and not do much except make fun of them. Is that, you know, I look in that room and I see 7 to 9 grade schoolers. And they're your typical grade schoolers. They're squirming. They're doing all kinds of things. And Terry will ask them some question about school that day. And who knows what kind of answer you're going to get. Okay, most of you here are parents, so you understand what I'm talking about. But I see week in and week out just being present. You see those two words? Servant and teachable. If I'm not in the presence of the teacher, I'm not teaching. And I'm not talking about showing up watching a webinar or doing an online course or asking a Bible question to see if I can trick somebody. I'm talking about saying, God, give me a teachable spirit. Because Jesus said, I don't do it unless I've seen the Father show me how to do it. Big difference. Big difference. How often do you pray, God, give me a teachable heart, give me an attitude that is servant like Christ? That when I see somebody walk in, how do I serve them in the most minute, practical way that I can come up with? It might be going around to the person that you work with that you know their attitude stinks and you're trying to find a way to give one encouraging word. Even if it costs you back something, they may not say thank you. You can serve through words. You can serve through attitude. Yes, you can serve through actions. So Jesus' attitude, one of them was servant, another one was being teachable. Are you teachable by the Holy Spirit? As I was telling the 9:30 group earlier this year, I felt like God said to me, I was actually asking God about being teachable. He's like, God, I need to come to a little more understanding of some things. He said, well, Dan, that's really good. I'm glad you asked. And by the way, not that he talks in those long phrases, but basically it sounded really something kind of like this. Glad you asked. Okay, God, I'm listening. What do you mean? And don't worry about reading the Bible. Don't worry about looking anything up online. Don't worry about watching somebody preach a sermon online. I don't want you to do anything. That's it. It's like God did this. It's like all you parents do with your kids. Sit down, son. Sit down, son. And so we began to get just a different thing. I mean, I journal, I do all kinds of things. But you know what was interesting was this. The most interesting to me was this. Hey, Dan, this isn't once and done. Is your attitude going to maintain? It's easy to sit here on a beautiful Sunday morning in freedom. Beautiful day. Someone's outside cooking us lunch. A lot of you have brought food to share a meal together, which is incredibly the essence of, to me, a church community. It's easy to do that. But how about on that day for those two when a kid's throwing up, the tire's flat, or maybe the most hellish thing on earth is to get in the vehicle you have to drive and it's on empty. When everything seems to be going wrong and God says, can you pick up the towel in the wash basin and maintain a teachable attitude? That's when it finds out it's for real. And a few more attitudes of Jesus. I could have made a long list for us today, but I try to keep down to the highlights. A new commandment, Jesus says in John 13:34, I'm going to give it to you, Jesus said, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Let me tell you something. If we just did that, everything else takes care of itself. Everything else just takes care of itself. Because that's you know what that is? That's an agape love. And agape love biblically means I will love you no matter what with nothing in return. You choose to do nothing. You choose to call me a dirty, rotten scoundrel. I'm still going to love you and I'm still going to forgive you because my whole purpose is to bring you close to my Heavenly Father because He loves me, John. A new commandment I give to you that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. John 13:34. Another one says this. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now you can take that scripture a variety of ways. Jesus laid down his life for us. And he says to his disciples, it's not up there yet, he's not going to be up there. See, Jesus said one time to his disciples, he says, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. I call you friends. And what he was really trying to tell them was this. I'm getting ready to do something for you that I expect you to do for one of them. Because when I call you a friend, my attitude is that I will go not the extra mile, I'll go all the way. An attitude of all the way. Next scripture. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly since love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8. What are some of those attitudes we can take away? Loving, forgiving, and unifying. Jesus' attitude in those scriptures, and there would be more, but I picked those three for us today. Loving, forgiving, and unifying. Oneness. We serve one God, one Savior, one Holy Spirit, and one church body. The big church body. Attitude he had What if he had just simply chose to pick one? He said, today I think I'm kind of forgiven. You see, as a Christ-like attitude, he doesn't separate these. It's in the essence of who he is, not who he was, who he is. Jesus' attitude, loving, forgiving, and unifying. A new commandment I give you, that I will lay down my life for you, and my love will cover through the blood, my blood, all the sins and all the wrongs, because the oneness is more important than the individual. The whole picture is the whole picture. And one part is not bigger than the sum of the parts. And this day, as we think about our lives, if we think about Jesus' attitude, at any moment, he could have walked up to people, or the people that came up to him, and he could easily have said, you aren't worth it. But instead, he always invited in. He always welcomed. He welcomed the questions. He welcomed the naysayers. He welcomed the doubters. He welcomed the religious. He welcomed the sinners and the tax collectors. He welcomed because his blood covered over their sins as it covers over our sins. So our attitude today, what's it going to be like? How will we have a Christ-like attitude? Because I just shared some of Jesus. Let's look at the scripture. I'm going to give you two more scriptures. Ephesians 4:23-25 says this. Paul's talking to the church in Ephesus. But that's no life for you. You learned Christ. You were teachable. And you said you wanted more. You said something was missing. So I shared Christ with you. And you said, I'm in. But that old way of life, that's not for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it, and then take an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. If we love like Christ loved us, and a life renewed from the inside and working itself in your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you, we might offend people with the truth, but we'd also welcome them with the love and truth. We might walk in a world that says lies about us, but we still be the salt and the light. Because this conduct of ours would be so Christ-like that our mouths, our words would be life-giving, not having to apologize. Our attitude would not be, I had a bad week, I had a bad life. But it'd be like, it's reflecting the glory of the sun. Right back to that. And it finishes up. What this adds up to then is this. No more lies. No more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. Tell them the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. After all, when you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. In the last scriptures of, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. I'm going to give you some points to finish up. What do you do to have a Christ-like attitude? You put others first. You allow accountability in your life. You repent of attitudes that are not Christ-like, and you renew your attitude today or daily and today. But when it talks about putting others first, I would challenge you with something. Is Jesus the Christ Lord of your life? And have you not just received his forgiveness, but have you allowed the love be poured into you and to impact your life? Are you willing to present the disappointments, the doubts, the lies to him so you can put him first and then you can put others first? Because I want you to know it's pretty impossible to put others first when we're doing it in our own strength. You may have a good day. It might even be conditional some days. But putting others first, it takes the power of Christ. And how many scriptures have I read to you already this morning that talk about putting off the old self, the old way of thinking, the old way of living, and saying we are renewed in Christ by the Holy Spirit, But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's going to be really tough to be renewed. So we don't put others first. We put Christ first, and then we're putting others first. And then we allow accountability into your life. I don't think there's probably a whole lot of us that love to be called out on any given time when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. But when we're putting others first, we're allowing people that we trust, that we have a real authentic relationship, to speak life. See, accountability is not telling you what you're doing wrong. Accountability is sharing life together, showing you the life that you're missing out on. Accountability is allowing God to speak to you about the life that you're missing out on. Allowing accountability in your life, first and foremost, is essential to having a vibrant relationship with God, I believe. I believe that in my heart of heart. And yet, so often, it kind of gets left out. What was Paul doing with all those scriptures? Ephesians, Philippians, Jesus, and throughout the New Testament. He was saying, I must speak into your life because there's something missing, and that something is me. And I have so much more for you. Allow accountability in your life. Repent of attitudes that are not Christ-like. Repentance. Tough word. What does repentance mean? It means turning from your way and going to God's way and confessing that you were going your own way. Basically, it's not saying I'm sorry. I kind of messed up. No, it's saying like, God, I made a choice to be disobedient. And that you do not tolerate. I choose to say, God, I have sinned against you and against your plan for my life, and I choose to walk in your life, your way, your purpose, your calling. Most of us, I think, are missing out on a Christ-like attitude because we're too busy looking down on what we wish life could be instead of looking up for what life God's trying to show us it is. It really is. And the last one, renew your attitude daily. Renew your attitude daily. Do what you're called to do. Do it faithfully, consistently, willingly, passionately, purposefully, joyfully, excellently, and unapologetically. I'm glad you can't answer, but I do want you to think about this. Christ-like attitude. As I said earlier, that sounds really easy on a pretty Sunday morning, November the 3rd. But when life hits the fan, and it always hits the fan, you find out real quick who's first. And you find out real quick through your attitude, through the words, through your actions, about your accountability and who you're going to live your life following. And you're going to find out real quick, are you willing to own when you messed it up? And is God really trying to renew your attitude this morning? But one of the things that concerns me, brothers and sisters, is there any joy in your life? Is there any joy in your relationship with God? Or has it become a list of, or has it become just so routine that it's just there's no life in the living? And that's what concerns me so much. When you read God's word, it may even be confusing, but is there a hunger to know more? You may even be able to read and understand it, but all it was words on a page. You might as well have flipped on an article on the internet and read it. Is there any life in the living? God can do more with what you will surrender to Him than He'll ever do with what you're going to keep trying to have control over. I'll say it again for you. God will do a lot more through what you're willing to surrender to Him than He will ever do on that which you're trying to keep control over in your life. Are you living faithfully, consistently, willingly, passionately, purposefully, joyfully, excellently, and unapologetically? Our attitudes today, it might be our greatest source of evangelism. You might say, why is that? Because the culture we live in, it's all happening to all of us. But Jesus said, we're what? Salt and light, city on a hill. He said those kinds of things, not as suggestions. Not on days we feel like being that, not on days we even kind of desire that. That is part of who we are. But if our attitude in life is crowding out that Christ-like attitude in our lives, then are we doing all that we can be doing to show the world the love of Christ? And so this morning, I told you I had some cards and some envelopes. We take prayer requests. For those who are part of us normally, we're not going to do a ministry time. I'm just going to pray for us a little bit and give you some time to reflect upon these things. To have a Christ-like attitude, put others first, allow accountability in your life, repent of attitudes that are not Christ-like and renew your attitude daily. If I could summarize what needs that God is offering us today, individually and as a church body, how about just a fresh breath of God of life upon us today? How about allowing God to not just change our attitudes for a moment, but to permanently change them? Ask God to do a great work in your life today. He is offering himself. He's not offering a substitute. He's not offering a kind of sort of imitation. He's offering himself. What a wonderful gift. What an opportunity. What an offering. He's going to pray for us a little bit. Let's pray. Well, these next few moments, we just stand here in your presence, sit here in your presence. I just tell you out loud, Father, I love you, and I know you love me. And I also acknowledge you love me more than I love you. But Lord, I desire to love you back the way you love me. And I'm asking you right now, Father, what are you speaking to us? What are you showing us about ourselves? God, I pray that we would have faith to trust you, that you're speaking in love because that's who you are. Father, have we actually ever chosen to follow Christ? God, I pray today if there's somebody in this room that has not ever said, yes, I want to follow Christ. I want to make him the Lord of my life. Father, I just pray that you would just show them that and that they would be willing to trust you, that you did all the work. Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected. The resurrection power, hallelujah, is offered to us today. And that we would say, yes, Jesus. God, I pray that the cries of our hearts that we hide through hurts and wounds and disappointments and bitterness, that God, you would just pull those back. Do a great work and love on us today. Love on us, Father. We are blessed to be a blessing. What's God just saying to you? Just take a moment to reflect upon that. Just think about what is God speaking to you about right now. Well, Father, we put all this before you. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name.